Often the difference between winning and losing is attitude. Welcome to Dr. Sid E. Williams' latest talk on how you can take charge of your life. Dr. Sid has helped thousands enjoy a healthy, loving, and successful life utilizing the principles he will discuss today. And now, Dr. Williams.
He said, and with authority, bad, real bad. I never heard such a guy with so much authority. Real bad. I said, is it that bad? He said, yep, and even worse, and getting worse. I said, how about an attitude adjustment? He said, what I need is $5. I said, I'll give you a dollar. He said, make it two and I'll take it. I said, I ain't got but 50 cents. That'll have to do. He said, I'll even take 10. He said, see, you're different from these guys that come by here. I started talking to him on an intellectual plane. There's a guy I tell you ought to go out and convert. He's got a lot of sense, a lot of brains, Frank. I really like him. I know we introduced our students back here a while ago, and I did have a wonderful experience over there in New York the other day. It really takes me 3 or 4 hours, Frank. I don't know, Dede, if you got a little more power on this microphone, I don't feel like it's going. It may have some, but I don't know whether I got enough or not. Now, what I'm going to do today, I may have it. Maybe I can take it on up. We've only got a 6 or 7 hour program. Hey, Bob. Now, what I want to accomplish is that I want to give you some space. Now, you young people know a lot about it. You talk about space. You know, you talk about blooming where you are, you know, living it up. Well, obviously, if you got a lot of misery of the past, a lot of frustration in the future, how can you really live it up right in the now time? Now, what I want to do is open this up. And obviously, we're not going to be able to fill your brains with knowledge like we do in a student setting. What I think that we're going to do, in fact, I don't think we're going to do, I know what I'm going to do. It's what you think I'm going to do that's important. You follow? And I really don't want you to be thinking much. See, I want you to cease thinking right now, and I want to move into your inner consciousness, and we want to leave this afternoon for my part of the program with a mind that can seize upon new ideas and new concepts and then be swept along in a direction that you select. Now remember the knowledge that you've got back here in your academic community that we've always dealt with. That knowledge alone won't make you successful. It'll just prepare a little bit of the groundwork. Just a teeny portion. Now that's what's got to be organized. We got to organize what you've got, and the reason I'm addressing it this way, because we got, in the past, we haven't had DE intensives for newcomers. Semi-newcomers.
Hi.
Good morning. So we've got some students, we've got some new CAs, we've got some new doctors, and we've got some people who've been here, and we had some fellowship over in Jersey here the past 2 or 3 nights, that we've been together for 20 years plus, some of us even 30 years, if you can imagine such a thing, a camaraderie that's held up, and a dedication and a commonness of purpose. Or at least a minimum of, right in this group, I would think we have 10 or 15 people who was at DE in 64 or 66. So we've got people on a different strata. So it's going to be hard for me to angle off out here and talk about it intellectually and depart various approaches to this inner wisdom. And what we are speaking about really is an inner unity, an inner togetherness that you can feed upon this group, in the inner self, the friend within, because every one of us has a very loving, warm, friendly, innate consciousness within us that's always open and susceptible to our suggestions and our mandates and our desires primarily and our ambitions. But most people don't recognize it. They don't have any idea about this friend within. We don't have any idea how to overcome this negative momentum, this negative emotional momentum, negative business momentum. So we spend our lives in frustration reading about spiritual awareness, spiritual development, innate development, business development, while we recognize that there's always been a few people who are able to touch something different. Some insignificant looking people, even some southern rednecks down here that had appeared different. They had something magical about them. There was a certain attractiveness, a certain authority, a certain being, a certain presence, a certain enthusiasm, a certain masculinity, a femininity about them, or a mixture of all of them, that their presence engenders a thoughtless, warm, loving, friendly state. So I want to be forthright out front here, and what we're going to do is the best thing that we can accomplish in this intensive is to leave you with an openness as if you had been by the shore. And I know some of us go to the shore and we spend too much time in the gambling casinos and up and down the boardwalk, and we take a lot of guests along and a lot of friends, and we chit-chat and read this, read that, look at the television, and just frustrated, wish we could get back home. What I want to leave with you is for the times that you go by the shore, you incessantly walk the shore, you are alone, maybe with a lover or a very close friend that you don't have to sell, that you don't have to influence, you don't try to solve the major mysteries of life or any spiritual mysteries or the beyond realities. To where that you just incessantly listen to that wave, the sound of the ocean. And then just imagine yourself coming back completely relaxed, completely free, and being able to walk into your office and be able to see all the things that are wrong. And furthermore, have the inner direction and the inner guidance, the inner wisdom that comes purely from within you, from an accumulation of all the knowledge that you've received in all of these years. Suddenly, this knowledge has a capability for organization. For knowledge won't accumulate wealth. Knowledge won't build your practice. I think some of the key and significant things that we can become in some way associated with today is that we learn to take that little bit of knowledge from all sources, and we organize that knowledge into action plans, action programs, action ideas that you go home and put into action. Now, one significant thing, too, that we want to be accustomed to, is this action is worthless, near worthless, except eking out some existence, some small pittance, unless it's directed toward a definite major goal in your business, social, spiritual, fraternal life. Now, those of you that have already adopted, I don't think we're without doubt here, that most of us would say, I have a definite major purpose to succeed in chiropractic. While in our deep recesses of our planning, secretly on the side, I want to retire at 30. I want to amass great wealth. I want to be a publisher. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to go on the road. I want to be a great lecturer. But my major purpose is chiropractic. And there's a many of us who are planning off down the road. Today's existence is just meager and just a mere type of existence. It's in the future that what I'm planning. I can't hardly wait until the day comes when I can retire. I have a definite major purpose in chiropractic as a wish. But my definite major thing is I want to retire early. I want to go to the Maine coast or to West Palm Beach or to Sarasota or to the Promised Land in Atlanta. Marietta. Now, what I want to do is try to help you and guide you in the directions of knowing what a real definite major purpose is. I want to clean out all these cobwebs that you get your purpose firmly established in chiropractic, and that your basic desires are to succeed right now and to live the life that you're capable of living right now as fully successful as you wish to be. And I want all the other mundane trivia that's been assigned to you, or maybe it's your job, your responsibility. I want you to be able to habitually learn these responsibilities and learn these chores. But I want you to learn how to keep your mind off of them. Much like I'm suggesting and asking that, I want you to view life as like a giant stream moving through us, this feeling that comes to all of us at various times, a feeling of well-being, a feeling of love, a feeling of joy, a feeling of tranquility, a feeling of success, a feeling of awareness. I want us to learn and begin to learn how to direct our attention to where we can look more at the stream and less at the leaves that float in the stream. Now, most people are spending the majority of their lives concentrating on the leaves. And it's difficult to turn loose in many instances because they at least have security in one of the leaves and one of the thoughts and one of the passages and one of the ideas that they've concentrated on. But the big ones, the seers, the saints, the lovers, the people with the big ideas, the people with space, the people with capability, they know how to watch the stream and they feel that stream and they experience it. And in the experience of it, it continually opens them up for a receptivity. It keeps their mind stimulated at a higher vibration to where that they can deal with the innate consciousness within. They're able to overcome obstacles, overcome temporary defeat, overcome temporary setbacks, learn how to face disaster, learn how to face tragedy, learn how to face worry, fear, and regret without giving it anything, without giving it any attention, without giving it any awareness. I think that I see very few of you writing these ideas down. I've just given you the whole message. I think maybe what I want to tell you to do is write down a definite major purpose on your pad right there in front of you. A definite major purpose as a doctor of chiropractic is to build as big of a successful business as can possibly be built under the circumstances and the situations right now, right in this very moment. We're not interested in amassing any huge fortunes. We're interested in establishing a definite major purpose, which if becomes fixed as a definite fixed idea, and the French say that a person never becomes great unless they develop an idea fixe, a definite fixed idea of who they are and what they are and what they expect to accomplish. Who they are, and what they expect to accomplish. It does no good for you to spend the time, the effort, the money into chiropractic college and not have it organized, this knowledge that you have, into a planned action ideas that accomplish and move you toward this definite major purpose. Now here's another thing, item number two. You want to think big. Now three great success philosophers have emphasized this. Napoleon Hill as an example said, whatever the mind can perceive, believe, the mind can achieve. David Schwartz, one of our premier writers in success philosophy. The magic of thinking big, he emphasizes. Clement Stone, one of the greatest entrepreneurs of our generation. Probably a $500 million entity, maybe $1 billion or $2 billion entity, started from nothing in our time, building with individual ideas. Stone mentions, aim high. Now you should write all those things down in reverse order. Aim high, the magic of thinking big, what the mind can conceive, what the mind can believe, the mind can achieve. Now reduce that to where you can verbalize it. constantly. All right, item number two, set your goals, your financial goals. Now, there are spiritual goals, there are social goals, there are economic goals, there are family goals. We're speaking right at this time of the business goals. Now, business goals never takes the place of family goals. It has to be all worked out as a relationship. You don't want to run off and spend your entire life in frustration and amassing this huge fortune, this tremendous business, have it to collapse, and you don't have any inner love and no family and no children and no relationship, such an egomaniac, a maniacal considerations, that nothing else matters. Family, camaraderie, friends, or within your goal-setting mechanism. You want to establish initial goal in contact with your patients of 500 visits per week. Now, the first thing that a person will do is out here struggling with 125 visits a week or 110 visits a week or maybe 175 visits a week. The idea crops up into your consciousness because you've been saying it for weeks and for months and for years. You butted against this stone wall. You says, I can't do it. Well, write this down. Quit saying I can't. Start talking to yourself in the positive affirmations that I can and I will and I must. I can and I will and I must. And say it to yourself 1,000 times and let it be substituted. Let those three little positives, I can, I will, I must, substitute for all the other negative chatter, self-talk, program talk that you've been doing. Now, one other significant point is I can talk on that subject right at this moment. Your friend within the innate subconscious mind, if you program it properly, did I say have it programmed properly? Or did I mention if you program it properly? You know what that means? That you're programmed by the television. You're programmed by the family. You're programmed by the circumstances. You're programmed by the situations. You're programmed by the events that occur around you constantly, and you react to them, and you respond to them. My significant point was that you program them. Anybody got any questions on that? That you program yourself. Now, what does your innate subconsciousness respond to? Your innate subconsciousness responds to an authoritative voice. It responds to a person who's got a made-up mind. Now, what does that leave it up to you? You've got this negative past that's been bombarded into the subconscious aspects of your mind, the innate consciousness, through incessant everyday reactions. Since a tiny child, you can't do this, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that. You'll never succeed. You don't do this. All of that has amounts, as it amounts to. How many can say and has developed a program, a reasonable grip on the realities of program talk, where you can talk with authority? You might say, I don't want to talk with authority. How can I talk with authority positively if I'm negative? If I feel like I'm a failure? How can I talk positively? It's very easy. You rise above into a higher plateau with love, with dedication, with faith, with enthusiasm, with work, programmatic planning, with the establishment of a definite, pre-planned, major goal that you wish to accomplish in your life right now, this very minute, this very week. We got a lot of moving around. Some guys even walking out. If y'all need to go to the bathroom, all of you need to go now. I would train myself. If my bladder was about to burst, I would sit here and puddle on the floor. Don't take the easy road out. Every time some little emotional stimulation grips you in your bladder, well, I've got to go to the restroom. Then you go out and start thinking your own thoughts out here. So what we want to do when we come to DE, you're in here. We want you in here for 3 hours, no movement, no leaving, no changed thoughts. We want to come together in one spirit. We get all these negatives out here, and I'm trying to bring all you people together into a common purpose to understand the mechanisms of why we're going to get out. We've got to have our minds made up to be successful chiropractors. Because nowhere else, no other entity in this whole profession, in this whole world, no other group of people understand principles like we do. Principles. We didn't go out, DD didn't come out and invent another therapy. Another group of allopathic principles. Is that what DD did? Is that why we've been fighting all these years? Is that what gave us the strength, the dedication of all of our forefathers? That gave us this great opportunity. And I know a lot of our young people will say, well, we're accepted now. We've got recognition. We've got the scientific community to deal with. Listen, if we'd have did it that way and said it that way, even in my 36 years in chiropractic and others in here, you'd have never been here. Think about that for a while. Are we dealing with another therapeutic allopathic procedure and our language is just the same as these others? With all the other therapists, are we dealing with manipulative procedures? I like you. No, you don't stay in your office enough. Is it another weak, watered down, another therapeutic? We're going to treat cancer with manipulative procedures? Is that what we're going to go out and train people? Get an adjustment. You've got multiple sclerosis, diabetes, cancer, arthritis. Come on in. We'll manipulate you and rub you and stimulate you. Is that what we are talking about? We're trying to continue to build a dedicated group of people who have a capability within themselves. Not in the community. Did I say a capability of the community to furnish you some business? Only 25 million people in this United States alone knows about this. 225 million people don't believe it or have listened to the slander and to the ridicule. I mentioned a while ago about the friend within. You learn how to talk to your friend within in a positive, dynamic manner. Your friend within will talk to all of these people who are on your wavelength out there. And then you'll have the principle, life itself, creation itself, universal intelligence, innate intelligence, working in a harmonious direction in some way directed by you. I've never seen a person who come to DE over the years. In fact, guys, y'all have been here over the years. Sol, I've been knowing you 38 years, 37 years, I know. You know what we used to do? Is that you, Frank? You'll verify this, and Louisiana was one of the worst, most negative states outside of New York. I remember when New York, how many remember when New York wasn't licensed? No licensure, can you imagine that? No licensure. Every day you looked in the paper, quacks, charlatans, cultists, ignorant, uneducated. You know what the DE people did and what they rose against all this adversity and these old guys that come out here that raised their hands a while ago that remember all this transitional period? You know what kept them going? The same thing that will keep you going. The challenge in your heart, in your mind. The urgency. Now you ought to write that down, the word urgency. Big, successful, motivated, actualized, loving, friendly, warm people develop an urgency within themselves. Here's another thing for you to write down. When you go home, you'll have a capacity 10 times greater. Learn to get things done 10 times faster. Now, this urgency is all these people out here that don't know about what you know in chiropractic that no one else does. And you're not catering to any society, any other professional group, any scientific community. You are moving forward with what we know to be true about chiropractic with an urgency. Now, here's what I mean. If you're only able to motivate 125 people in your office a week, I want to clarify this too. Some of you new guys will come out here and say, well, I've only been in practice 2 weeks. I'm already seeing 150 people a week. Now, what else do you want me to do? I've only been out in practice 6 weeks. I'm seeing 250 visits, as if that was the greatest accomplishment known to man. I'll tell you how easy that is. 60 new patients the first 2 weeks. 30 new patients the next week. 30 the next one. If you manage them properly, if you motivate them properly, if you have the message that they want, you know how to mold them into a cohesive business plan, you're already at 300 visits. So that in itself is not the ideal or the goal for the accomplishment. Neither is this. This is clarifying it even for some of our guys. To say that I did 300 people a day. No one ever hears the fact that I only did it one day. And that I blew out and I got frustrated because nobody paid that day. They came in and rolled in, and for 2 or 3 weeks I said, it's free to everybody. Come on in. I want to be able to say I'm doing 300 a week. What I'm speaking about is this. An established business without you having to puff it up. You know what a puff is? You have to do this all the time with these plates. Do any of you know what this is? Keeping the plates up and then you run to do this and run to do that and run to do this and run to this and run to do this. We're speaking about a stabilized business without you having to go out and push through referrals through these people that want you. Y'all look here. Is he a student? Maybe he's from the AMA. What the hell? I'm going to get to them next. I'm just warming up. This is my prelim here. I haven't come on yet. What I'm speaking about is have 500 visits per week, well-paying, referring, happy, satisfied chiropractic patients who respect the doctor and who respect the principles upon which chiropractic is based, well-educated, where you don't have to bother with it, but that you are the center of their influence. Can you imagine a group of people who don't have any information? Have you been to the libraries lately, over the years? Go look into the library under the references on chiropractic. What does it say? What does your dictionary say? What does the recorded text say about chiropractic? What does the scientific community, after spending $50 trillion of research, what does the authorities say about chiropractic? I just noticed in the AMA press release after we whipped them that chiropractic is a method of healing that believes they can cure diseases with manipulations. What I'm saying, we're talking about principles, 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 principles. We're going to talk about the chiropractic principle here in just a minute. We used to have a sign at the old Palmer College. It said this, and it's very significant. You want to write this one down to you. Who can anchor to an unanchored mind? Now, if there's no recorded history, there's no national television publicity campaign, no health authorities, the whole establishment says maybe. What about these people that come to you? What are they going to believe? Suppose you don't believe. Suppose you don't have an anchored mind. Suppose that you are trying to cure this disease, treat this condition, mentally, physically, emotional, with various treatment procedures. Suppose you're into ultrasound, DiaPulse, Medcosinolator, salves, vitamins, to treat the various conditions that people might be suffering with. Suppose your mind is not made up. Give me a see your hand. Who knows what a made-up mind is? Be honest. Made-up mind. How many Christians in the room here? I can talk to y'all. Well, I can talk to the rest of us. We got our minds made up too. All of us. Isn't but one religion. Not talking religion. Christianity talks about having a mind made up. What does that mind mean? That it makes no difference what comes this way, what judgmental aspects, what facts, what fallacies, what new programming, what new discoveries. Does that alter the mind? That's the kind of doctor we are talking about in developing. This is the same philosophy that has withstood the test of time. Chiropractors made up their mind in the early days. Successful chiropractors now of all schools of thoughts, all techniques, all mannerisms, somewhere inside themselves, make up their mind. That's what sustained our guys, Frank, back here when Louisiana was so tough. And this was the facts. They would come to DE. Negative. Somebody was putting them in jail. The principles was explained to them about universal intelligence and innate intelligence via its release through the subluxation, and that this was a new idea, that no one else ever conceived it before, and furthermore, it worked. I saw three of our life graduates. I was ashamed of this the other night. Good publicity. Because someone had told them that you should get up before audiences and professionally proclaim that chiropractic doesn't treat cancer, multiple sclerosis, or that horrible disease condition called diabetes, or crippling arthritis, they said, we don't accept such cases. Are you a funnel, you students, being built into a funnel as a doctor of chiropractic to weed out all the diseased entities that chiropractic shouldn't accept? Who's furnishing the menu? Who's furnishing the names of these various diseases? Where do they come from? Where's the agreement and the consensus on chiropractic? I'm getting down to the knot of your inner being right now. Where's your formulation? Some of you don't remember this. After the HEW report came out, didn't we go to Davenport and fight against the white paper? You know what the white paper did? It was an accedence that we don't have any one entity, one condition that we deal with. You know, we used to say we correct the cause of all disease. You know what that was primarily for? It didn't say all diseases. Not in a modern sense, since 1920, we cure all diseases. DD thought that we could affect 95% of the diseases with the spinal structural adjustment. 5% with the other articulation, the shoulder, the fingers, the knees, the toes, and the feet. We had another entity called disease, disorganization, and that was caused by structural subluxations. I was telling our students out here the other day, they kind of, in the early stages, thought I was old folksy. Another good old boy, I guess. I think they referred me more to the good boy instead of an old boy. Tell them about how I understood this. I studied splantology, osteology, anatomy, pathology, chemistry, trying to figure out how could you possibly treat diseases with manipulations and the authorities. Remember this, the authorities of this world of science. And it's true to this day, Doctor. The authorities say that it can't be. If you look into the dictionary, you look into the definition of the chiropractic by the college presidents, no one makes any reference to the vivification of the body.
Of Life Chiropractic College.
I like that. Another one just went over. Y'all feel it? See it? The authorities still don't recognize what you do. We have beaten the opposition temporarily. And we can all be thankful that the opposition will not quit. They will only come at us in another way, you students. Your day will come when they fill up your curriculum and add more allopathic concepts and more allopathic principles. They, the opposition, would certainly hope that you'd become an ever-increasing funnel to refer out to these people all those diseases that we authorities, the medical authorities, say that chiropractic certainly can't be affected by. Now, is that kind of concept you got? If you got your mind made up, what kind of a mindset, a mind makeup you got inside? That's the first consideration here at DE. We need to make up our minds on what chiropractic is, even to the disbelief of what might appear to be obvious. It has to be reconciled inside of you to where your mind is made up. And then what do you talk with if you've got a made-up mind? Can you be in a negative situation and then talk from any part, any segment that you've got inside of you about your mind is made up? What if someone starts talking about the scriptures where you've got your mind made up? You know, have you ever read the scriptures? The conflicting ideals and ideologies and the misunderstanding, the translation from the Hebrew into Greek, into English, and someone starts bringing up these questions, what happens to you inside of you? You follow what I mean? What's happened to the inside of you when someone brings it up and said it's nothing but a group of authors? I'm not talking about spiritual concepts here. I'm talking about chiropractic concepts to chiropractors. How much inner strength and inner depth do we have as a body? Now, the old people, the old days of DE, the support that we gave each other, the forward thrust that we gave each other, with a planned action program of organizing the knowledge that we have inside of ourselves, organizing our abilities, putting out advertisements for the specific purpose of motivating people to chiropractic, organizing our patient lectures and our conversation with people that would connect them with us and would bind them with us. We found out a long time ago, and D.D. and I and others of you guys that know us, we'd say, the people loved at this meeting. What did they understand? What was it that they liked? Then we'd get the glowing reports back. This fella did this, and this one grew this. I had 30 new patients this week, or 40 new patients that day, or 200 new patients in a month. Well, what it was this. You don't have to write this down, but you've already written it. As long as they had a new desire to make it grow in chiropractic, removing all negatives, knowing that they were right, knowing that this substantive idea of chiropractic, knowing that this bigger idea, how many of you have heard of the big idea in chiropractic? You know what that is? It's bigger than religion. It's bigger than law. It's bigger than medicine. It's our idea. What difference does it make whether it's the scientists say that it is workable or not workable? Have we ever proved it to get to this state? I'm telling you this because you students are worried to death. What are we going to do if we're not together? What are we going to do if we're not unified? Well, I asked you this, Frank. What did y'all do in Louisiana? What did you do in New York? What did you do in New Jersey? What did we do in Massachusetts when we didn't have a law? What did we do in Alabama? What did we do in Mississippi? Only relationship I ever knew the North had was, in the chiropractic sense, Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana, and Massachusetts, and New York were the last of the diehards that let you remain unlicensed. You don't think we've been together? We were together then. Well, what am I saying? The first time of a successful person is to make up his mind on chiropractic in some definitive, some procedure, some manner that is non-therapeutic. In a sense of professional recognition. People, remember this, gave you the recognition. Not the scientists, not the legislators. You New York students, get involved in legislation early. Bring the legislators over to the New York College and let them talk to you if they're in your district. Go down and register to vote and say, we've got 500 voters in this audience. Come on in, Charlie Brown. Talk to us. Now, after you finish talking, we'll tell you what we want. Here's what our views are. You know what a good legislator is? Remember this. You see these great leaders you see on the radio and the program, they're testifying against old Bork and doing this and doing that. And then Brother Kennedy's on there. Sam Nunn's on there. You know why they're up there? Are they great leaders? The people keep them in Washington for what reason? This is a principle in politics. The people keep them in Washington because when they look at these representatives that we got up there, they mirror us. Did you know that? Sam Nunn, he mirrors the people. Kennedy mirrors the people. He expresses the people that put him up there. You New York people, you want to have some fun, get 500 registered voters in a tent down there on the campus. Call your representatives and your senators and your congressmen. We got 500 registered voters in this district. We want to talk to you about our needs. We want to see what you feel about it. And then go talk to them as if they are your representative. I want this. We want this. We like this approach. And be together. And then you watch how fast they'll mirror. It's another part in a program of making up your mind, what you do, how you work it, how it's effective, how you meet the government. We're the only place in the world. You know, you can go to Japan. You ever thought about this Constitution? You can go to Japan, be over there 100 years. Will you ever be a Japanese? You can go to Pakistan. You can live there, but can you ever be a Pakistani? Can you ever be a Frenchman? Think about that. All these people can come all over the world, and they can be an American. They got rights, and they got privileges, and they got voices. I think that the stronger we chiropractors get on who we are and what we are in this age of recognition, especially in understanding the people give us all these rights. Was it because it was scientifically validated? Have we validated a blue pill and a white pill? Do you know what the bottom line treatment procedures of the general practice of medicine? The guy comes in to the general practitioner, which you are. He gives you a cursory physical examination. He says, go take this one. You come back in 3 weeks. He says, that's not effective. Well, go take this one. Go take that one. Go take this one. Go take this one. Is that science? Medicine openly admits that they are not a science. We have so many chiropractors today say, oh, that's not scientific. We need to prove the subluxation. I got a simple colloquial answer to that. The French proved the subluxation in 1835 when they invented the guillotine. That's real easy. It's damn colloquial, but it kind of gets the point over. If I drop my keys, I ask my students, I think they thought I was crazy. Sure, these keys will drop. But I forgot to ask you there in the New York College. If you know that the keys will drop. Now, some of us even forget, and I told you what we were going to do at this meeting here, and some of you here for the first time, you say, I'm not getting a thing I can write down. Is this the knowledge we're going to get? This is the clearing process. You're only going to be here 6 or 7 hours. The clearing process, the cleaning out process. By morning, you'll understand it a hell of a lot better. What's he talking about? Dropping keys, fighting the AMA, bringing up congressmen. What I came over here for some educational, knowledgeable, I get more knowledge than this in one course at the New York College. We're teaching you how to organize that knowledge into a presentable presentation for you where it's acceptable to you. That's who counts. That's what counts. Do you accept it? What do you believe about it? You thought I forgot my original dissertation. Well, if everybody says that it's not so, there's a communication.
For a continuation of this exciting and informative talk by Dr. Sid E. Williams, you may now stop the cassette and turn it to side 2.